Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Johnny Tan, author of From My Mama's Kitchen, Food for the Soul, Recipes for Living. Welcome to my weekly From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio show. My guest for this morning is Dr. Kathy Gruver. She is a mind-body medicine expert. Dr. Gruver will be sharing tips from her award-winning book, The Alternative Medicine Cabinet, on how to apply natural remedies and better lifestyle routines to maintain your youth and add years to your life. Good morning, Dr. Gruver. Welcome to From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing wonderful. I appreciate you joining me from L.A. The Alternative Medicine Cabinet is very informative and an interesting read. The book covers so much stuff and great referencing and indexing. I highly recommend it to anyone who is interested in natural health. So congratulations.
Oh, thanks so much. I just won the Beverly Hills Book Award in the alternative medicine category. So I'm so excited. It was such an honor. So I'm thrilled.
Fantastic. Let us start by getting to know you a little better. Please give us a quick walkthrough of your life from childhood to the present moment.
Yeah, absolutely. It's quite a tale. I started out doing massage very, very young. I was 5 or 6 years old, and I would sit behind my dad on long car trips, and I'd rub his neck so he didn't get headaches. So even as a little kid, I had this urge, this inclination to put my hands on people and help them feel better. So I started very young with that. I would sit in my parents' basement, and I would read their old textbooks. So I'd read their biology books and their psychology books, and I was just fascinated with it all. And thought maybe, I might be a psychologist. Never, ever thought I'd be a biologist. But as I got older, I realized I did have this sort of drive to know more about alternative therapies. My mom got sick when I was 9, passed away when I was 18. And through that process, though, I wasn't, actively thinking, oh, I'm going to do this for a career. I do remember thinking, what is something alternative that she could be doing? She had very bad cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched her go through surgery after surgery and chemo and radiation, and her hair fell out and she got addicted to morphine, and it was just one of those things to watch as a kid and really questioning, is this the right course of treatment for this poor woman? And watching my dad be such an amazing caregiver was also hugely inspiring to me, and I didn't even know it at the time. So when I got to college, I was a theater major. My life was performing. I grew up in Pittsburgh, and I swore I was going to come to L.A. and pursue that acting career. And about halfway through one of our summer shows, this woman shows up, and she brought all these mats and all these teas and these herbs and these homeopathics and these balms and these lotions, and she started working on all the actors for free. And I had nothing to do for that particular show, so I was watching what she was doing, and one day she said, Kathy, I've got to leave. I've got all these people waiting. Can you take those mats and go work on John? And I said, no, I don't know what I'm doing. I said, I'm just sitting here watching you. And she looked very deeply into my eyes and said, yes, you do. And I went, oh, okay. So I took the mats, and I was smart enough to listen to her, and it turned out I really did have an amazing ability. So I apprenticed with her for 3 years, and that's when everything sort of changed to maybe I can incorporate this into my acting career. I still was just set on doing the performing. So when I moved to Los Angeles to pursue that acting career, because I was going to be the next big thing, I did massage along with it. It was a great way to bolster, no pun intended, my income. And then I moved up here to Santa Barbara, where I am now, and started doing massage and the body work and all the health full time. And it wasn't enough. So I went and got my doctorate as a naturopath, and then I got my master's and PhD, and I started writing, and I have my own TV show, and see if the acting came back. It's been the most fascinating journey. And when I look back at where it started and where the pivotal turning points were, it just all seems so destined. It all seems like, oh, yeah, you're exactly where you're supposed to be doing what you're supposed to be doing. And I never would have known that 20 years ago if you would have said I'd be here, doing this kind of work. So it's been a fascinating journey.
That's fantastic. That's a wonderful journey and a wonderful story. It seems like you followed your intuition.
Yeah, I think I followed multiple dreams because they were all running concurrently. But also, I do. It's interesting. When I'm ready to go somewhere, I'm ready to go. I mean, I actually left Pittsburgh and moved to California about 10 days before Christmas. after I graduated college. And my poor father, you know, his wife has not been dead for 4 years. And, you know, I'm an only child, so I was, it was just me and my dad. And I said, Dad, I got to go. And he kind of went, okay. And he, you know, tearfully said goodbye as I got in my old Camry and with everything I owned and drove cross country. And then the same thing when I was in L.A., I knew it was time to go. The acting thing had run its course, and I said, I want to be in Santa Barbara, and it was the perfect timing and the perfect situation for where I needed to be and what I needed to do. So I just kind of go.
That's a fantastic story. What is homeopathy?
Homeopathy is a system of medicine where the theory behind it is like cures like. It was discovered by Samuel Hahnemann, or Hahnemann, depending on how you want to pronounce that, and he found that certain substances, if you took them in a great quantity, would probably kill you. But if you took them in a minute, diluted quality, it actually cured you of things. So, for example, if you take arsenic, we know that's a problem. You can't take full-strength arsenic.
Right.
However, if you take homeopathic arsenic, it helps with the symptoms that arsenic overdosing would look like. So it's a really specific system where you treat really specific symptoms with a really specific remedy, and it reverses it. It's fascinating. I love homeopathics. It's one of my favorite systems.
That's wonderful. One of the things that reminded me of, as far as vaccine is concerned, because actually that is a form of homeopathy itself, because you introduce the germs into your body and let your body build the natural antibodies against it.
Right, exactly. It's really similar, and it's funny you use that example, because when people stare at me sort of blankly when I'm explaining it, that's the example I use.
Yeah.
And, you know, we in small quantity, it's good for us. In a large quantity, it's not good for us. Homeopathics are a little bit different in the fact that they're diluted down to the point where you can barely even tell if there's a molecular structure of the item left. But, yeah, it's very similar to vaccines. It's funny you use that example.
Interesting. What is the difference between classical homeopathy and constitutional homeopathy?
Mm-hmm. Classical homeopathy, their view is there is one remedy for that one issue. So, me having allergies right now, I should be taking histamine, which is the homeopathic histamine. In fact, when we're off the air, I'll go do that. Somebody else might walk in and have what looks to be the same kind of allergies, but they would get one specific medicine for them. So classical homeopathy treats that disease state at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Constitutional homeopathy looks at the whole person, treats that whole person with a remedy that is known to deal with that personality type. And then the assumption from there is the body and the mind and the spirit are going to be balanced, and you're going to be less apt to get those allergies or those things. One of them, but very few people do constitutional homeopathy anymore. It was one of those old things that I don't know that I've seen anybody do it recently. I played with it a little bit just because I was studying it at the time.
Yeah.
One of the classic examples is for children. If they're clingy and they're fair-skinned and they have light eyes and they're very, you know, hiding behind mama's skirt kind of thing, that's a pulsatilla child. And giving them pulsatilla oftentimes helps with that shyness, helps with that fear, helps with that clinginess. It allows them to be a little more open. And I've actually seen that work with a client of mine. She brought her 2-year-old daughter in who would not let her go. And she was having tantrums, and she was just, I mean, picture perfect of this pulsatilla type. And after giving her some pulsatilla, her personality didn't change, but it was enhanced for the better. It moved in a direction that was a little healthier version of her personality.
Very interesting.
That's a basic difference, yeah. The other thing that I wanted to throw into that is combination homeopathics. And that is, you know, the classical practitioners say, oh, that doesn't work. The combination one is that's what you're typically going to find in a store. So if you go to a store and you grab a little vial that says cold and flu or PMS or arthritis pain, they're going to take the top 4 or 5 remedies and they're going to mix them together. And they're going to hope that one or more of those works for you. So this is where the classical guys go, no, you can't do that. You can't mix more than one. But I've seen some combination ones work. There's one called Oscillococcinum, which is a very long name for a wonderful remedy that treats the flu. So anybody mm-hmm, that feels mm-hmm. the flu coming on, you take ofloxacinum. It acts to me very much like a flu vaccine. And if I'm around a lot of people who are sick or I'm starting to get depleted because I only get sick mm-hmm, when I'm stressed, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'll take some of that just to make sure I'm staying safe and healthy.
So basically what you're saying, classical would be the store-bought remedies, I guess, and then versus maybe a practitioner type of formulated remedies are totally different because those are the ones that are custom tailored to each individual.
Yeah, you can buy single remedies at stores. They tend to have mm-hmm. a big display of all these little blue vials, and they have one name on it. Mm-hmm. So you might there's aconitum, and there's arsenicum, and there's, you can do it that way if mm-hmm. you know what yours is. Like, I know if I'm starting to get a cold, it starts with this tickle in my throat, and I know if I start taking gelsemium right off, it'll not hit me. So once you know what remedy is you need for things, mm-hmm. you can just go to the store and buy it. The combination, it's the easiest thing. People see cold and flu, they grab cold and flu, or PMS, or sleep aid, or you know whatever. It's an easier way to do it without having to know what the individual remedies are. Mm-hmm. If you're going to buy an individual remedy in the store, it normally has one or two things written on it that it's traditionally good for. Like Nux Vomica is really great for overindulgence in food and alcohol. If a kid gets too hyper, you know, they're around a relative they really like, and they get so hyper they make themselves sick, which I've seen so many kids do. Nux Vomica is great for that. However, it's also good for a litany of other things. So if you go to the store to buy Nux Vomica and you're not nauseous, don't think it's not can't be used for anything else, because I've had people really shy away and go, oh, well, I was told to get arsenicum, but it says it's for blah, blah, blah. I don't have psoriasis, so I didn't buy it.
Yeah,
you know, it's good for a multitude of things. So ignore those. I wish they wouldn't even put them on there, but ignore those words.
When do people get to a point when they know it is time to take the chance on homeopathy?
Well, there's not much of a chance involved. I mean, mm-hmm. you're not going to have side effects. Mm-hmm. The remedies are incredibly affordable. I mean, one of those little vials of the little sugar pills costs like $6 or $7. I mean, it's a cheap way to try to regain control of your health. Seeing a homeopathic practitioner can be incredibly expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
it just depends on your mindset and where you want to go. You know, it's not a bad thing to head to the health store and try some of the combination remedies to see if it can help you. Because like I said, mm-hmm. there's a couple that I found really, really beneficial. You might have to experiment, use different brands, try different formulas to see if it works. But yeah, anybody that has anything, I mean, I keep a stash of homeopathics in the house of common ones that I know I'm going to need. And that way I turn to those if something comes up. It's a really simple system to use once you get it down.
Is homeopathy safe?
Yes, yes. It's safe for pregnancy, it's safe for kids, it's safe for animals. We had a cat who was going through surgery, and mm-hmm. he was clearly going to be having pain. So I would crush up, I'm blanking on the name. Anyway, I would crush up the homeopathics, and I would give it to him on a spoon. It's totally safe for all that. There's never been any study that shows it's not safe for pregnant and kids.
Very interesting. So how did your book, The Alternative Medicine Cabinet, come about?
I wanted to share more things with more people. And because I was a massage therapist, typically I was, you know, in a room with one person for an hour. And I love that intimate connection of, you know, we get to talk about anything. And that's one of the reasons my career started moving forward out of just body work, is they were asking me everything. They wanted to know about Uncle Stan's heart disease. They wanted to know about their mom's thyroid problem. They wanted to know about their kids, you know, whatever. So I realized, oh, geez, I better learn more, because they're starting to rely on me as a healthcare practitioner, which I feel I am. So I started writing for the community, and the first article I wrote was for a little Santa Barbara magazine called SB Fitness, and I wrote about different types of massage, because there's so many different things. Mm-hmm. You go into a spa and you look at the menu of services, and you're like, I don't know what half that stuff is. So I wrote this great article about different types of massage. And then I thought, wow, this is a great way to reach more people. So I started writing more articles and more articles and more articles. And somebody said, I hear you want to be a public speaker. And I said, yeah. And they said, oh, well, you have a book, right? And I went, yeah. And so I sat down and I thought, what in the world am I going to write about? Well, I mean, I had plenty of things to write about. But I started writing this very complicated book where I had to do all this research. And then something tapped me on the shoulder one day and went, excuse me, you have all these articles you've written. You have all these amazing projects mm-hmm. you did for school. There's your book.
Yeah.
So I sat down and assembled it all, and I added things, and I pulled things out, and I realized I could rip myself off, essentially. And the knowledge that I had been passing on in little hometown newspapers or magazines or blogs, I could turn that into a book to reach even more people, and that's exactly what I did. So when people have said, how long did it take you to write your book, I can't answer that because a lot of the stuff I pulled from other sources.
Right.
I could say years. It took me years. But I'm so proud of what I put together because, like you said, there's so much in there because it is such a collection of different things that were written for different purposes. So
right.
I'm so excited to get to share so many different things.
Well, one of the things that I'm fascinated with your book is the detail you covered in massages, the benefits and so forth. So tell us a little bit about the benefits and then perhaps give us some ideas on the various techniques, because that's the other issue that I think a lot of people get confused about, which technique is appropriate for them.
Exactly, and it's so fun that you picked that one because that was my first article ever. So good, yeah, I'm happy to share that. Massage has so many benefits. It not only feels good, it helps lower our blood pressure. It releases feel-good hormones in the brain. So any woman who's listening who's ever been in labor, you know what oxytocin is. It's that hormone that helps you bond with your child. It helps get labor going. If you're not producing enough, or if they want to speed you along, they're giving you Pitocin, which is an artificial version of that. Massage and any kind of touching like that actually releases oxytocin, so it makes us nicer to each other, and it makes us feel good about the people we're around. So that's always that's always a bonus. They've shown it helps preterm infants with their breathing more. I have found it to be so beneficial working with elderly people. I do a lot of work in nursing homes. You know, they're not getting that touch, that personal connection. So even just going in for a half an hour and rubbing their arms and their legs really helps them feel better. So to me, there's a multitude of benefits. And not to mention it decreases tension. And anytime we can get rid of that stress response and invoke that relaxation response, we're going to have less issues with our immune system, less issues with heart disease and digestive problems. So it's relaxing, helps the muscles, headaches, jaw pain, backaches. I've seen it all pretty much go away with the right massage therapist, with the right amount of timing with the massage. So there's so many different types. The basic massage is Swedish. It's a lighter touch massage. It's the first thing we all learned in massage school. It's long, flowing strokes. Not my favorite. To me, it just makes you feel kind of slimy and sleepy. And it doesn't get to those deeper muscles. So if you're experiencing any sort of muscle pain, if you're an athlete, if you're really stressed, this is probably not the one for you. It's not going to go deep enough for you. If you don't like, people say, quote, I don't want to be in pain, I don't want to feel it afterwards, I just want to relax, then Swedish is probably fine for you. Hot stone massage is basically Swedish, but they use stones. If you're seeking this one out, be very careful. There's not many people that do hot stone massage, yet it accounts for the majority of insurance claims. You can get burned if the person doesn't know what they're doing. And the other thing that I don't like about it is because they're holding the stones in their hands and they're massaging you with the stone, they can't feel the tissue under their fingers. And to me, the point of doing a massage or having a massage is having that finger touch on you. So if you're using a stone or a tool, you can't feel the knot, you can't feel the muscle texture, you can't feel if you're hitting a bone, and I've seen not great outcomes from that. So I'm not a big fan. Lay on a heating pad if you need heat. Not to disparage people that do that modality, but I personally, after 20 years of doing this profession, I don't really see the point. Deep tissue trigger point is going to get to those deeper muscles, those deeper layers. It's going to help the athletes, the person that's stuck at a desk all day where they're having shoulder tension. You can use it on jaw pain. It helps with headaches, low back pain, sciatica. So that's more sports kind of massage, really, the deep tissue trigger point work. There's methods that are done on the floor fully clothed. So Thai massage, shiatsu. Don't completely get undressed and lay on the floor. They're going to be very disturbed by that when they come in and find you not clothed. So you're going to do that on a floor, on a mat, and that tends to be a lot of static pressure. Of course, you can't glide or slide if someone's still wearing their clothes. So sometimes they use heel pressure. Sometimes they use elbow or a lot of the hand pressure. There's just a multitude of them. But here's what you have to do. Find a good practitioner and just get a lot of it. That's the best thing for you, just a lot of massage.
I enjoy massages, but I've been to one where – I mean, I'm there for a reason because my muscles were aching, and the fact that I believe it was a deep tissue massage, and it hurts even more afterwards because of the pressure.
right.
That was administered to us. I'm saying that, you know, it's good hurt. It's not bad
right,
hurt,
right.
But I hate pain.
Right. And when not, deep tissue doesn't have to hurt. People think they have to walk out of there feeling if they got hit with a bat. And there are times where that is appropriate. But it was funny. People and everybody does things differently. So if you don't think you like a certain thing, go try it again with a different practitioner. I had a woman come in and she said, "I hear you do deep tissue."
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Yeah, that's what I specialize in." She goes, I don't like deep tissue." And I said, "Oh, okay, why?" And she said, "Well, I had this girl, and she bruised me, and I felt terrible, and I'd be sick for a couple days, and I couldn't move, and I hated it." And I said, "Okay, that's no problem." So I did the entire hour, and of course I kept checking in, saying, "How's this pressure feeling? How are you doing? Is everything okay?" Because sometimes people don't answer the first 22 mm-hmm. times you ask, so you have to keep asking. And she said everything was fine, and we got done with the massage. And I said, "How are you feeling?" And she said, "I feel amazing." And I said, "I just did deep tissue."
Yeah.
She's like, "What?" She had no idea that it could feel like that. She was ecstatic. You know, I did it differently than other people do. So if you don't like it the first time, try it again. It is really beneficial for us.
Interesting. What is the difference between Reiki and Rolfing?
Oh, okay, very different. Reiki is a hands-on healing technique where we're transferring energy. So, and actually neither of them are massage, which is kind of interesting because many people think both of those are different types of massage. Reiki is it's energetic healing. So you can put your hands directly on the person, or you can put your hands a couple inches above the person, and you're working with the energy fields. And I know that sounds a little out there and a little woo-woo, and I'm so practical, and when I start talking about Reiki, people go, "Whoa, are you getting weird on us?" No. No. In fact, there's about 80 or 90 hospitals and medical centers around the country that provide Reiki for their patients. Now, I know hospitals very well. If something is woo-woo area not working, they're not providing it. You know, so that excites me. There's a lot of research being done about what Reiki can do. We've seen it heal wounds faster. We've seen it knit bones together quicker. I've heard, anecdotal stories of tumor shrinking and things like that. But basically what it does is it calms us on a body, mind, spirit level. So it's not just physical healing, it's emotional healing. And I've had a lot of people come to me who maybe just got a divorce or just found out, you know, something horrible about their partner, someone was being cheated on or had a whole separate life someplace else. They lost a child, they lost a parent, and they come to me for Reiki. And they walk out of my office looking like a completely different person. It's fascinating. Rolfing is its own system of hands-on work. So it's similar to massage, but when Ida Rolf founded it, she trademarked it. Mm-hmm. So unless you go to a Rolf Institute, you can't say what you're doing is Rolfing. So massage therapy schools, at least when I started studying, you're not even allowed to mention Rolfing because you're not an approved. I find it kind of frustrating. It's like, really, you trademarked it? You know, other systems have come out of it. Rolfing, typically you do in a series of 10, and they work with different sections of the body at different times. So your very first section might be all hip work. And then your second session might be all legs, knees, ankles work. They do a lot of work in the connective tissue, and oftentimes you'll have an emotional release, which I've had just doing regular massage with people. But you might actually feel emotions come up. You might cry. It's a little more expected during Rolfing. And it used to be known as incredibly painful. Everybody I knew, 15 or 20 years ago that was doing Rolfing was like, "Oh, they kill you." they've since lightened that up a little bit. I think that reputation was not serving them particularly well. So from what I understand, Rolfing is a little less intense now. But a really great – I've actually never had it done. I've written a couple articles involving Rolfing, and the people I've interviewed have said, "Oh, come in and have a session." I really should, because I should know what it feels like. I haven't gotten there yet. Life keeps getting in the way.
Interesting. Very interesting. When reading your book, in the section where you talk about, again, coming back to the idea of having store-bought versus practitioner formulate remedies, what it reminded me of is when I was home in Malaysia and my mom go to the, and this is a Chinese medicine store, and that's what it reminds me of, and you have each of these little cabinets in the Chinese medicine store holds all the different herbs and all the nasty stuff, I would say.
Yeah.
You go and see this person, and he does all your vital signs, and then he writes a prescription, and then, of course, you go to so-called pharmacy, right? And they gave you all these little things here. They wait on this little weighing machine and so forth. And then you go home and you boil it and you boil it and you boil it and you boil it. And you finally drink
and it
that
never
nasty
smells
stuff.
Good. It never smells good.
Nasty, nasty stuff. I remember that. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's crazy. But it works. I have to say that. It does work.
Chinese herbs are amazing. And I mean, I had to study that a little bit for my master's. I did a couple traditional Chinese medicine courses where I learned about acupuncture and Chinese herbs and the vitals and the tongue analysis and the pulses. And it was never anything that struck me as something I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I found it, I've had it done to me, and I love going to my acupuncturist. And the Chinese herbs with the boiling on the stove and then straining it. And, you know, my husband kept saying, "How long are you doing this?" Because the whole house smelled like, I don't even know. And they taste terrible. But part of what I understand, part of the taste of that is part of the healing. And so actually drinking it as a tea is the best. But, you know, I remember going to this man, and he had all these little drawers, which were just so cool to me. And he'd grab a handful and he'd weigh it and he'd put it in this big bag. And I loved doing that, you know, for myself.
Loved
it. That was one of my favorite memories of Chinese medicine, was that those little drawers of stuff.
Right.
In a language I definitely couldn't understand. I'm like, what are you giving me?
And it's amazing what you're talking about, because on its own, these products may not be necessarily as effective, but in combination, and not only in combination, but with the right amount of combination, it makes a big difference. And then, of course, you cannot boil any of these remedies in the regular pots and pans. You need to use a clay pot. Everything is natural. Everything is so earthly, I guess, earthy. And, and it gives you a different results in the end. So it's quite interesting.
Yeah, no, it's such a fascinating system. And I'm glad you brought up the whole idea of alone things work differently than in combination. And that's one of the things I remind people about prescriptions. And I am in no way against prescriptions or surgeries. I think we overuse them. But, you know, one prescription might be fine for you, but then you have 11 prescriptions. How is that interacting in your body? And then throw in, you know, the not great food or stress or environmental toxins, and suddenly we have this toxic soup. And, you know, I think we forget that we are a sum of all these individual things we're putting into our bodies, whether it's natural medicine or not. So I think that was a good point to bring up.
Right. People don't realize that we are a closed system within ourselves. So what we put in stays in or goes out, but it is reacting to our chemical makeup in the body that we have.
Yes. And that's what's so great about homeopathics, because it's customized medicine. Mm-hmm. You know, 10 people might walk into the same homeopath with a headache and walk out with 10 different remedies. Whereas 10 people head to Western medicine, they're going to come out with pretty close to the same pill.
Yeah.
And that's, I think we need to get back to the individuality of natural medicine. You know, everybody that walks in my door gets a completely different massage than the person that just left. I have to look at their body. Do I do the same basic routine? Yeah, but it's completely different. Different pressure, different areas where I'm holding, different areas where I might start. Because if I do it cookie cutter, then it's not really doing it. I mean, it might help, but it's not truly healing if I'm not really present with each person and giving them an individual treatment.
Very true. From a nutritional standpoint, what are the top 10 foods you recommend and why?
Yes. These are pretty common, and these are ones that I would think most people would probably gravitate towards. In fact, I was very excited. I have a very old friend of the family who I used to call aunt and uncle because I just didn't know what else to call them. But they had read my book and then emailed me and said, "We eat every single thing that you mentioned in your book." So I'll go through them real quick. I think we're all going to recognize these. First of all, blueberries. Blueberries are fabulous. They are very high in antioxidants. They taste good. They're accessible for a lot of the year. They do tend to be sprayed, though, so you want to rinse them well, get organic if you can. Blueberries, fabulous. Great, great, great way to get your antioxidants. Next one, let's move on to an entree. Wild-caught salmon. We are starting to have huge debates about salmon in this country. Not only are we having farmed salmon, which is not real great for us, now they want to genetically modify salmon.
Salmon, yes.
Why do we need genetically modified fish? I mean, just the fish we're eating is fine. So anyway, so please, please, please stay away from the farmed. Get wild caught if you can. I know oftentimes in restaurants you don't know.
Yeah.
It, when they farm the salmon, they're not feeding them their natural foods. They're supposed to be eating krill and shrimp and things like that. That's what gives them that pink color. in a farm, because they're not being fed that, they're being fed, first of all, antibiotics and other fish. They're, you know, any fish that die, they're being chopped up and put into food. So because they wouldn't be pink, they dye them. So it's like they pick it from a color wheel. So it's like going to Benjamin Moore and saying, I want this pink for my bathroom. That's what they're doing with the fish. They're actually dyeing them. So who knows what that's doing to us. So farmed is bad, wild caught. Really good oils, really good, again, with the antioxidants. And there's a little bit of mercury risk, but everybody I've talked to has said the benefits of eating fish outweigh the mercury toxicity. So don't get too freaked out about that. So with your wild-caught salmon, let's have a side of broccoli. Broccoli is great. It's one of the least contaminated foods with pesticides. It's got vitamin C, A, folate, potassium, magnesium. Great for eye health because it's got lutein and zeaxanthin, so it's good for preventing macular degeneration. Let's throw some garlic on our broccoli. See, we've got a whole meal here. Start with blueberries, and let's do some salmon with broccoli with some garlic on it. Garlic is amazing. Garlic is great for colds and flu. It lowers cholesterol. It's great for heart disease. It raises the good cholesterol, so that's good. And garlic has to be damaged for it to work. I had a client who felt like she was coming down with something, and she said she was eating garlic. And I said, how are you eating it? And she said, oh, I'm swallowing the cloves whole. And at first I thought, ew, yuck. Second of all, it doesn't work. Crush it up, chop it up. There's a really great supplement called Kyolic, which is de-scented powdered garlic in capsules. So if you don't want to smell like, you know, you've had scampi all day, you can do that. It's really good. olive oil is just amazing for us. We do need good fats in our diet. Please, people, don't cut out fat completely. Really a bad idea. Let's move on to our breakfast. So let's take some eggs and let's mix in some spinach. There's going to be two great things. Spinach is high in vitamin K, calcium, magnesium. Really, really, really good source of vitamin D. And eggs, you know, for the longest time, eggs were considered the bad guy. Oh, it's cholesterol, and you can't eat them. And I eat two eggs every single day. I have the most picture-perfect cholesterol. Cholesterol is mainly found in the yolk. But that doesn't mean you should order egg white everything. The components in the white of the egg actually help you process the cholesterol that's in the yolk. So eat it as a whole food, as nature intended. It's also high in lutein and zeaxanthin, so great for the eyes. It's thought to protect against things associated with aging, like dementia and Alzheimer's. Now, the only time you shouldn't eat eggs is scrambled on a breakfast bar. So if you're on a cruise ship, if you're at some big, you know, Easter brunch, and you walk over and there's this mound of creepy eggs in a big pan, that's when you don't want to eat it. If you can eat the eggs with the yolk intact, so hard-boiled, soft-boiled, poached, over easy, you know, that type of thing, that's when it's the most beneficial for you. Because what does make the cholesterol bad is that oxidation. So you break the egg, you scramble it, you add oil, which is going to oxidize it a little quicker. You put it under hot lights and air. It's going to oxidize it quicker. So scrambled eggs on a breakfast bar is the worst time you should eat the eggs. And also, they always look creepy because there's that film on top. So then the last couple things I recommend. Avocados are great. Again, really, really good fats. Those are omega-9s, which the body does produce themselves, but we do need those. And let's talk about water. We need water, good, clean water. Bottled water, filtered water, purified water, whatever kind of water it is, just drink more water. Cut out the soda. Soda is the worst thing we can be putting in our bodies, and drink more water. And then the last thing is red wine. Now, a lot of people found it odd that I would put that in there because they assume health-conscious people aren't drinking. Wrong.
Right.
Red wine is phenomenal for us. Let's be honest, there are some people that just can't drink, so ignore the statement if you're one of those people that are alcohol-free in your life, or if you get a little crazy. But yeah, red wine, great, high in antioxidants. The grape seeds have really good beneficial properties with some vitamins, minerals, nutrients. So yeah, red wine is great for us if you're a type of person that can drink alcohol. So there
wonderful.
It is. There's my 10, a full meal.
That's wonderful. How about this? I have a little question for you. What if I don't like avocado, but I like guacamole dip? Does that count?
Yeah, because then here's what you can do. You're putting tomatoes in, so you're getting that. You're putting in onions and peppers, good stuff there. The salt we could probably do without, a little bit of salt and pepper. But see, then there's the problem. You have to dip it in something. So you're having corn chips. Now, corn chips, if they're not organic, has probably been genetically modified. So get some good wholesome, maybe the blue or the stone ground, you know, organic corn chips, then dip away. Guacamole is actually a good snack for us.
Wonderful. We talked a little bit about herbs just now, and of course, what I did was I brought up about the various Chinese herbs being used as medicinal purposes. Your book talks about herbs. Tell us a little bit about why is it so vital in our process of using it in natural medicine.
Yeah, herbs are one of the first things that I gravitated towards. When I was still living in L.A., before I even thought that I would get into this as a profession, I discovered there were all these herb stores in L.A. And you could walk in and they have the big jars full of different herbs and they had books that you could reference. Of course, they couldn't tell you what would be good for what because they're not allowed to practice medicine. But it was such an amazing experience because I realized these things that I had been reading about, I can now do myself. So I started drying my own herbs and making my own tinctures, and you'd walk into my apartment, and I'd have all this stuff hanging from the kitchen ceiling. People thought it was the coolest thing ever. Oh, you're so, that's so neat. And I'm like, you can hang plants from your roof, too. I mean, it's not that hard. But one thing I want to caution people with herbs, herbs are a chemical substance. So herbs can react with things. When I first started out, I just assumed, well, herbs are natural, right? They can't hurt me. Wrong. I had read in my book that horseradish was good for sinus issues. Well, I had grown up with sinus issues. When I moved to L.A., I started having really bad sinus issues because of all the things that were blooming year-round. I mean, I grew up in Pittsburgh where you had really clear seasons. You come to L.A., it's one big season until the earthquake comes and then we get a second season. So I read about horseradish. Well, I didn't grow up in a household where we did a lot of cooking in that realm, so I had no idea what horseradish was. So I went and bought a bunch of powdered horseradish, and I made it into capsules. And the people at home that have had horseradish, I can just hear them going, oh, she didn't. Yes, she did. She decided taking eight capsules of horseradish would be a good idea. Burning pain in my stomach. I drank a gallon of milk without stopping because I was on fire. Eight capsules of horseradish.
Oh my God.
I thought, what in the world happened? How could I have been so wrong? Well, clearly I took too much. So 2 days later, I took four capsules of horseradish. Horrible idea. Now, that was just simply a stupid mistake. Now, if I'm having prime rib, please do not offer me horseradish with my meat. I cannot even think about. I don't like the taste anyway, but I definitely could not possibly ingest that again. So it was just a stupid mistake. But I assumed because herbs are natural, it couldn't possibly hurt me. They can.
Yeah, well, it comes back to the idea again, if you take things in excess, that doesn't help.
Or you take things in combination, because St. John's wort is a really common herb for low-grade depression. There's been multiple studies that show it beats a placebo. There's been some done by the pharmaceutical companies that say, no, it doesn't do anything. But I know a lot of people who take, you know, St. John's wort for mild depression. But did you know it can counteract the effect of the birth control pill? Whoops. They don't know that. And most health food stores that they questioned didn't know that. So your depression goes away until you get the pregnancy test results back, and then there's a whole new litany of issues. So you want to know these things. If you're taking prescriptions, grapefruit juice, of all the innocent things, can oftentimes mess with your prescriptions. So know what you're taking and know what those combinations are. Herbs, for the most part, are safe. If you take them smartly and you don't do eight capsules of horseradish. But you do want to know if they're going to mix with any pharmaceuticals you're taking or any other herbs. Things can come
along.
I like using herbs, but kind of as not a last resort, but I don't start with herbs typically. My theory on health is, let's get rid of the things the body doesn't need. Maybe it's a chemical, maybe it's a food, maybe it's soda, maybe it's artificial sweetener. And then the second thing is, let's add back in the things we need that we're not getting. Typically a vitamin, a mineral, maybe more water, a little bit of exercise. Then, to me, the third phase is, then let's put extra things on top. And that's where it differs from Western medicine. They don't want to get rid of the problem-causing thing. They want to just pile more stuff on top. So to me, see if you can get rid of things first, and then if that doesn't work, then let's try herbs, homeopathics, Maybe it's a pharmaceutical, maybe it is a surgery. But I think we have to get rid of the things that are causing the problem first if we can figure them out and identify them.
Right. Sometimes less is more.
Yes.
Rather than more is more. That reminds me, years ago, I had been to one of those stores like Smoothie King and, you know, the yogurt place and so
mm-hmm.
forth, where they do sell natural foods and natural mm-hmm. tablets and so forth for you to take. And I ran into the owner, and he had mentioned to me, well, you know, I take about 32 of these tablets, different kind of tablets a day.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a little bit excessive.
Right.
I didn't tell him that, but I mean, I'm just saying that to myself. There's something wrong here. Somewhere along the line, there got to be some sort of chemical reaction to all of these. Maybe not short term, but somewhere our body is a closed system, like I mentioned before.
Right.
And so you can get all this reaction unnecessarily and you don't even realize it. So in a nutshell, basically, I think people need to really do their homework.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And, you know, we are living in this wonderful world of Google and
mm-hmm.
Yelp and Zing and Ping and
yeah.
Bing and all these things where you can search anything. You want to use really good sources, though. Don't just go to somebody's blog who's trying to sell you a bunch of supplements and use their info as fact necessarily. Some
right.
places have really good info. But, yeah, I've had, when I do health consultations, I sit down with people and I want to know what they're taking. Now, I'm not a medical doctor, so I would never tell people to stop a prescription or start a
right,
prescription.
Right.
You know, I don't deal with that. But I need to know what they're taking. And I had one woman come to me with a shopping bag. And I said, oh, did you go to Trader Joe's, which is one of the
yeah.
sponsors? And she goes, oh, no, this is what I'm taking. You said you wanted to see it. And I went, okay. She had been seeing a chiropractor who
mm-hmm.
does one of these, what are we calling it now? Well, I call it multi-level marketing. There's a whole new,
yeah.
a whole new word for what they're calling it now. And she had all these pills. And I laid them all out, and I looked at all
mm-hmm.
the ingredients, and multiple ones of them contained high amounts of vitamin B.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we need B, and B is water-soluble, so typically we pee it out if we don't need it. But the other thing B can do is it hypes us up a little bit so we can keep us
yeah.
awake.
Yeah.
She was having a lot of trouble sleeping. So what did they do? He gave her then a sleeping thing. Oh, well, it's your adrenals. Well, yeah, because you're hyped
yeah.
up on B. You know,
yeah.
So I looked at all these pills, and I said, look, I'm not telling you. I said, I know you're working with your chiropractor on this.
Yeah.
I said, I'm not going to tell you to stop taking any of these. I said, but you're really overdoing it on some of these things. I said, they're giving you all these pills from the one company, and they're all supposed to be compatible, but you're getting like 20,000 times the amount of vitamin B that you need. I said,
right.
that's why you're not sleeping. So rather than adding a sleep aid, let's get rid of some of the B and see if that helps.
Right.
So it was fascinating. It took me forever to look at all these bottles and go, wow. You're getting a lot of stuff there, lady. You know, so just be smart about it. You know, if you want to take 30 pills, knock yourself out, but make
right.
sure they're working in conjunction with each other and not outdoing each other or negating each other. There are so many pharmaceuticals that the side effects lead to another prescription, and then that side effect causes that one, and, you know, it's
right,
soup,
right.
which, you know, again, I'm not opposed to pharmaceuticals when we need them. I'm really glad we have them, but we're getting a little out of control.
It's true, because you're talking about where most of these pills you're taking, some of them may have common ingredients. By itself, it's fine because it's formulated that way.
Right.
And then, but when you combine three or four of them, and before you know it, you have an excess of vitamin B.
Right.
Yeah, so very interesting. Can pregnant women benefit from reading your book?
Yes, I have a whole section in there on healthy pregnancy. I'm kind of a closet doula. I'm not an official doula, but I have helped with 7 or 8 births, which is
mm-hmm.
absolutely amazing. And I do a lot of work with pregnant women in my practice. They come to me for massage, prenatal
mm-hmm.
massage.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of good stuff in there for pregnant women. And then there's also a section in there about kids and homeopathics. So
mm-hmm.
once you're done being pregnant, then there's a couple sections in there on how to keep your kid healthy. So, yeah, oh, definitely. I love working with my pregnant women.
How does acupuncture help pregnant women?
Acupuncture, this is definitely not my specialty, acupuncture can help with morning sickness. Acupuncture is really great for fertility. So if you're struggling to get pregnant, I have clients that have really, really struggled with not being able to get pregnant, or they do get pregnant and they miscarry very early multiple times. Acupuncture is one of the best things for that. I have a very close friend who does prenatal and fertility acupuncture, and she has had such amazing luck. I think it's just her. Women lie on their table
mm-hmm.
and walk out
mm-hmm.
pregnant. It's incredible. And it relaxes the whole system. It gets things back in balance. And, you know, it's really hard to get pregnant if things are out of whack.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to try to get back to the the basest, most balanced place you can be, and that, then it's going to be easier to conceive. And acupuncture just seems to have an incredible skill at helping with that. I've just seen it time and time again. So, yeah, I'm a big fan, definitely.
Interesting. Again, your book covered so many things, and one of the things that, of course, is at the tip of everybody's mind these days is personal energy management. We all can use some sort of energy boost every day. Do you have any natural remedies you could recommend?
Yeah, definitely. Energy, you know, that energy slump in the afternoon is not a caffeine deficiency. It's not a Red Bull deficiency. We're piling all these things on top, but let's get to the underlying cause. First of all, you want to make sure there's not a medical cause for that. Cancer can cause fatigue. Low thyroid can cause fatigue. Not sleeping well. Of course, if you're not sleeping well the night before, you're going to hit 2 o'clock and you're going to be pooped out. The other thing is what we ate. So many people don't start with breakfast. They grab a muffin. They grab a Pop-Tart. That is not going to give you energy to sustain you through the day. This is why I eat eggs every day. And frankly, I'm an eater, so I'm eating all day long. If I don't eat, I just get really tired and lethargic. I get brain fog. It's a blood sugar thing. So you need to know your own body and make sure you're starting with a good breakfast, a protein, a fat, and a carbohydrate. So I have bacon and eggs almost every day, or eggs with something in it. I'll chop up lox, or I'll put in chicken from the night before. Or sometimes if I have a big salad the night before for dinner, I'll have my leftover salad for breakfast. Why not? You know, we don't have to. Our breakfast is not relegated to breakfast foods. Grab a hunk of cheese. I mean, at least it's giving you a little bit more than just a carb. And then for lunch, don't overdo the carbs, because it's going to give us a boost of sugar, and then we're gonna get tired. So, you know, if you're heading out to lunch with your coworkers, don't do the big bowl of pasta. Or if you do, make sure there's chicken in it or shrimp along with a salad, something like that. So, look, from a nutritional standpoint, that's going to really help. Oftentimes the afternoon slump is we're dehydrated or we're not breathing. So going outside, taking a 10-minute break, walking around, deep breathing, doing a little, jog to your car and back, that's actually going to boost your energy and not make you turn to the soda and the Red Bull and the sugar. it is tempting. I understand the quick fix, but you're going to crash later. So, doing it as naturally as you can, and making sure you keep up with, checking that it's not a medical issue. You know, women with low thyroid specifically tend to really just get exhausted in the afternoon. So you want to make sure you're not having anything like that going on. Low iron, too, making sure you get enough iron.
Very good. What would you like for your readers to gain from reading The Alternative Medicine Cabinet?
I want people to know that they can have control back. We don't have to be a slave to Western medicine. Again, I'm glad we have it, but we don't have to turn to that first. There are other options. For things that aren't life-threatening, please explore something other than heading straight for drugs or surgery. If it is life-threatening, please don't call me with a heart attack asking for an herb. Please go to the doctor. Stab wound, I'm not doing massage on you. Head to the doctor. But for things that aren't life-threatening, we have the ability to explore these other options, and that's why I included so much in the book. I want people to see there are different options, and if you don't want to do Rolfing, then let's try a different type of massage, or let's go to acupuncture, or Reiki, or an herb, or homeopathic. I want people to know they can take control.
Interesting. Where can someone go to buy your book, get more information about you, and keep up with your latest happenings?
Yeah, my website is named after the book, thealternativemedicinecabinet.com, and I have a lot of free resources there. I have links to old articles and radio shows, so this show will be up there soon, and then also a monthly newsletter. And all the events and happenings. So if I'm traveling to your area and I'm going to be speaking, or if you find yourself in Santa Barbara, you'll know where I'm speaking at. My new books are there too. So, yeah, it's thealternativemedicinecabinet.com.
Wonderful. What can we expect from you in 2013?
Oh, well, let's see. My second book came out in January. I just submitted my third book to the publisher, so they just got it in their hands. It's called Conquer Your Stress with Mind-Body Therapies. I do a lot of work with stress and mind-body medicine, so that's my third book. And I'm going to be speaking on a cruise in September. So I'm going to be with three phenomenal ladies. We're going to be talking about all aspects of health, body, mind, and spirit. So join us on the cruise to Alaska, which is going to be fabulous. And, I don't know. My TV show should start airing soon. And, I want to get on Dancing with the Stars. So I better hurry up and get more public attention. No, I'm only half joking. No, I really would. That's my ultimate goal. I want to be on Dancing with the Stars. I've been dancing my entire life, so it's a logical next step for me. But no, I want to continue to spread the word, and I do a lot of radio and a lot of guests. I'm about to get on TV after this. So yeah, I just want to get the word out that there are options and that we can take the control back. And the more I learn and can share it, the more people I'm touching. And that's what I want to do.
Fantastic. What kind of dance do you do? Are you a ballroom dancer?
I do any kind of dance, but I do hip hop. I do hip hop 5 days a week, and it's so funny because people picture, you know, healer and massage therapist, and there's, you know, the tinkling music and the fountain. I'm sure I'm doing ballet and yoga. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
I'm doing hip hop with the loud, angry music and the man yelling at me. And when I'm not doing hip hop, I do flying trapeze. I'm a little different kind of healer.
This is the million-dollar question right here. So what is the secret to looking youthful and staying young?
It's about living life. It really is. And not completely stressing about it. You know, doing the best thing you can to put good things in your body, good things in your mind, staying active. I had a client that passed away last year at 105.
Wow.
You would have thought she was barely 80. I mean, she looked amazing. She played tennis until she was 95. She had friends. She entertained. She kept learning. I would show up and her, when she was 105, her husband was 96. He passed away in March. They'd been together, first and only marriage. They'd been together like 77 years. It was crazy. And I would find each of them on their iPads. he was doing Sudoku or looking at his stocks.
She
was watching TED Talks. You know, they never stopped. And when you stop learning and growing and expanding, that's when everything just starts to fade. And I think we have to know why we're getting up in the morning, even if it's to learn something new or to help somebody. And I think that's the secret.
Interesting. Yeah, it's true. Coming back to your book, what are some of the natural solutions to addressing? I know you mentioned a little bit about depression just now. Do we have any natural solutions to address depression and anxiety?
Yeah, definitely. I'm talking about mild depression here. I'm not talking about can't get out of bed suicidal. That's when you seriously need to go talk to someone. Mild depression, first of all, we have to remember that we're meant to have ups and downs. That's a completely natural part of being human. And I remember a woman coming to me and saying that, or her doctor had just put her on antidepressants and she didn't want to be on them. And I said, well, why did he put you on them? Well, she had just lost her job. Her husband left for a younger woman, and she was stuck with two kids. She could barely make the house payments. And I said, well, of course you're depressed. And she looked at me kind of funny, and she cocked her head to one side, and she said, what do you mean? And I said, anybody would be depressed. You know, you're not actually depressed. You're living. you're having a life experience.
Yeah.
You know, if your cat is dead and the bacon caught on fire and your car just got repossessed and your house is in foreclosure, you're going to be depressed. I would find it odd if there wasn't some sort of mood change with that. And she realized, once she got past a couple of these issues, the mood would probably clear. We're very quick in the society to turn to a pill for a mild mood issue. I don't think that's the best choice because also they were formulated for moderate to severe depression. There's been no good study that shows they even work on mild depression. So doing something like St. John's wort, be careful if you're on the pill. There's a system called Bach flower essences, which are made homeopathically, so there's nothing chemical left in them. Really, really great for mood issues and emotional issues. There are no side effects. If the worst thing that's going to happen is they don't do anything. Very affordable. You get a combination made of these different flowers, and they help with all sorts of different emotional states. They're amazing. Exercise helps with depression. Things like tryptophan and magnesium and B vitamins help with mood. There's a litany of things we can try to help us get through that in a natural way. Exercise, drinking water. Try those things first before you turn to a pharmaceutical that's going to have so many side effects you end up on four other pills.
That's fantastic. And by the way, I do want to remind everyone that Dr. Groove is coming to us from Los Angeles. The time is 7:50 when she first started on her little talk today. And the way she sounds on the air right now is as if like this is an evening show where she's all fired up already.
Once I got through the morning.
That's very interesting. Since our show is about people and family and living life, would you like to share a recipe for living with our listeners this morning?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a perfect recipe. Put the best food you can in your body. Mm-hmm. We're eating so much fake food now, the Frankenfoods, the genetically modified, the high fructose corn syrup, the things that come in very colorful, attractive boxes, but are giving us no nutrients.
Mm-hmm.
I really think that's one of the huge errors we're making right now, is we're not giving our body what it needs. You can't put soap bubbles in a gas tank and expect your car to run. You have to give it gas. And we're not giving ourselves gas right now. So the best – that didn't sound right. We're not giving ourselves good food. Hopefully we're not giving ourselves gas. So put good food in your body. The next thing is put good thoughts in your mind. And we forget that our mental state and our emotional state is a huge aspect of health. And it has to be balanced of body, mind, and spirit. So anything you can do to nourish those three areas, that is the perfect recipe.
Very interesting. That's a beautiful recipe for living. No doubt about that. Coming back to your book, any final thoughts about the Alternative Medicine Cabinet?
Oh, I just encourage people to enjoy it. I've gotten such amazing feedback, and like I said, I just won the Beverly Hills Book Award for it, which was a huge honor. Clearly, it's touching people's lives, and that's what I wrote it for. You can turn to any page, and you're going to gain some amount of wisdom from it, and that's what I wanted. Even if you walk away with one new thing, then I did my job. It's a short read. There's small chapters. I get a little smart alecky in a couple of them because I just can't help but be fun and, you know, try to be funny. And it's a fun, quick read. And I love my index. I'm so proud of the index. You can find anything back there. So, yeah, pick it up and just enjoy it and learn more about you and your own body.
How long have you been actually practicing what you preach?
Oh, well, that's a complicated one. I started studying massage 22 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was living in L.A., I was, you know, a fast food junkie, and I was drinking soda, and I wasn't exercising, and I had a very unhealthy life just because that was the lifestyle I had. You know, I was changing clothes and trying to eat in the car to get to an audition. It was not conducive to healthy living. Now, I'm lucky. I never really ended up with any kind of major problem. I never put on weight. But I was horribly unhealthy, constant headaches, bowel issues, not sleeping well, low energy, and I realized that things sort of fell off over time. I think soda was the fast food was the first thing to go, and then soda went, and then artificial sweetener went, and I noticed such an amazing change in how my body felt. I don't have those same problems anymore, and it's a relief to not have to take prescriptions for things. I was taking prescriptions for headaches and sinus issues, and I still occasionally have seasonal asthma here in Santa Barbara just because so many things are blooming, but it made a huge change for me to just cut out those couple things, and it was easy to do. It wasn't a struggle, really.
Fantastic. Well, Dr. Groover, thank you for the great recipe for living that you had shared with us earlier and for spending this hour with me on From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. To all our listeners, thank you for being with us. Please join me next Tuesday morning. It will be our special Mother's Day broadcast. My guest will be Dr. Christine Gross Lowe. She is the author of several parenting books and also a contributor to Mothering.com. Dr. Christine and I will be discussing her latest book titled Parenting Without Borders: Surprising Lessons Parents Around the World Can Teach Us. It is a narrative and research-backed exploration of myriad ways parents raising their children around the world. For additional information about this show and future shows, please go to FromMyMamasKitchen.com. Thank you for listening and have a blessed week. Dr. Groover, thank you again and have a blessed day.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.